For me, this is a season of hope. New hope for a justice and fair prosperity for the many and not just for the few. New hope. And this is the cause of my life. New hope that we will break the old gridlock and guarantee that every American, north, south, east, west, young, old, will have decent quality health care as a fundamental right and not a privilege.
John, it feels like the health care debate has just taken on a new sense of urgency
today.
Well,
I wonder, though. I mean, he did not live to see that cause fulfilled. I mean, in many ways, it's a poignant moment for that statement that Ted Kennedy made a year and a day ago at the Democratic National Convention in
1980. 1980. It's not that old. Yeah. So joining us to make sense of this week in the healthcare debate is our friend Jay Newton Small, Washington correspondent for Time magazine. Welcome back to you, Jay.
Thanks for having me on again.
We also have Jonathan Wilson, a public radio reporter for WAMU in Washington. Good morning, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. And hello also to Congressman Gerald Connolly, representative for the 11th District of Virginia. And Congressman, good morning to you. I'd like to start with you. Is it possible that the passing of Senator Edward Kennedy can actually affect or influence the outcome of healthcare reform?
I do believe so. It's a very sad day for all of America to lose Teddy Kennedy. He put up a valiant fight. And it's a voice that's lost. But on the other hand, I think it gives everybody an opportunity to rededicate themselves to the cause he championed these last three decades, and that is, of course, health care reform.
And, Congressman, to get more personal, what are your personal memories of Ted Kennedy?
Well, you know, I grew up in Boston, and I can remember my father being a delegate to the Democratic State Convention that nominated Ted Kennedy in 1962. I can remember him being the speaker at the communion breakfast at my high school and shaking his hand. And then, of course, later on in life, I worked in the U.S. Senate, and so I actually worked with Senator Kennedy on various pieces of legislation while I was there for 10 years. His is a voice, a towering presence, a powerful voice for those less fortunate, even though he himself came from affluence. It's, you know, irreplaceable.
Jonathan Wilson, you're a public radio reporter. You're based in Washington, so you must have had a lot of experience covering Senator Ted Kennedy. What are your memories of covering him?
Well, I think it's interesting when you think about Senator Kennedy, especially in this area, because we have a lot of people who are, like Congressman Connolly, from the New England or Boston area. Congressman Moran, who was hosting this healthcare debate last night, is one of those people. So I think that there's a special connection with that area of the country and this area of the country. Across the rest of the country, I don't know if that's the case, but it definitely would have made a difference if he was healthy and taking part in these debates.
Congressman Connolly, you're just fresh in from your third town hall meeting talking about healthcare, and you centered your discussions largely around senior citizens, and Senator John McCain did exactly the same thing yesterday in Sun City, Arizona. Have a listen to this.
I would like to know how the president is getting by with all of this money. It's against the Constitution. Doesn't he know that we still live under a Constitution?
I'm sure that he does. I'm serious. I'm sure that he does, and I'm sure that he respects the Constitution of the United States. I really do.
So, Congressman, have you heard from seniors like the ones that Senator McCain spoke to yesterday in Arizona?
Well, we've had town meetings that are thoughtful and where we have civil and respectful dialogue. Obviously, that clip would seem to suggest that you had an audience that was pretty riled up and maybe pretty partisan. I don't know. I know that in my town hall meetings with seniors, we've had a really thoughtful and reflective dialogue. Hundreds of people have participated. Thousands, actually, at this point. And, there are some legitimate concerns about the future and whether Medicare, a federal program, is going to be protected. I asked my town hall meeting, for example, yesterday, how many people were receiving Medicare. Every single hand went up in the room. And I'm old enough to remember I was a high school debater in 1964 and 65 when we were debating Medicare. And some of the same rhetoric about that program, which is now one of the most popular federal programs, was being used then. It was a socialized program. It represented the federal takeover of health care in America. It was unconstitutional. Here we are 40 years later, and I don't think there's a senior citizen in America who would want to repeal the Medicare program.
Jonathan Wilson, you also spent your evening at a town hall meeting in Virginia. You work for WAMU in Washington, D.C. Congressman Jim Moran was there, and the former Vermont Governor Howard Dean. What happened? How did it go?
Well, I'd have to say that Howard Dean stole the show, so to speak. This was a meeting that was co-hosted by both of them, but Howard Dean seemed to be the one answering more of the questions, with greater knowledge about health care. At least that's how it came across. And, of course, people on one side really appreciated that, but also you had some people who really were disappointed that Moran didn't say more. So Dean really was the man on the stage tonight. I don't know how that's going to play in this district here in Northern Virginia.
You know, this is Jerry Connelly again. I think that's an unfair characterization of that town hall meeting. I watched the entirety of it on C-SPAN. Jim Moran spoke for almost 40 minutes and went through 10 major myths about the health care legislation. I don't think that Howard Dean dominated the meeting. He was a focus of controversy by some organized opposition. But I think Jim Moran was in charge of that meeting and did an exemplary job of trying to work through some of the problems people have with the health care legislation.
But in some sense, Jonathan Wilson and Congressman Gerald Connolly arguing a bit there about that town hall meeting in Virginia last night. J. Newton Small, it seems to me that Howard Dean is sort of the voice of the Kennedy zealotry over a government right to health care. A citizen's right to health care. Where does that stand now? It seems that Dean's a bit of a lone voice here.
Well, Dean certainly. I think that in the Democratic caucus in the House of Representatives, I think the overwhelming sense among Democrats would share that view that health care ought to be a right, not a privilege, and we have to find a way to bring the 47 million Americans who are uninsured into the system.
Well, I have to say to you, Congressman, why has it not been more of a focus of President Obama, who was actually endorsed by Edward Kennedy as one of his last political acts?
Well, I think it has been a focus of President Obama. I hosted him here in my district at a town meeting. He's done a lot of town meetings across the country, and I'm sure he's prepared to do even more when he returns to Washington this next week. The White House couldn't be more focused on health care.
Jane Newton Small?
Well, Dean, I think, is certainly taken a voice of the left, and that's been missing in this debate, or at least someone who can spearhead the lefty concerns of it, so the progressive concerns, such as including a public option, which obviously is in the House bill, right, as it is right now, or at least the three versions of the House bill, is in one version of the Senate bill, but is probably not going to be in what is likely to be the most important version if they can get an agreement, which would be Max Baucus's bill out of the Senate Finance Committee, which everyone is on pins and needles waiting to see what happens, before the deadline on September 15th with that bill. But it's certainly, you know, this is a big problem for people on the left. You know, they want to see this public plan in. There's more than 70 members in the House who've said they will not vote for a bill that does not have a public plan in it. And Howard Dean's become a voice for that plan.
Well, we've seen all three of you before we leave. I want to go out on this. We've seen a lot of cynicism and stridency in the debate about health care. Does Senator Kennedy's death give us the possibility that we go back to a more basic debate about health care rights in the United States? And does the debate change in any significant way? First of all, Congressman Connolly?
I think in a tribute to Senator Kennedy, I think it is going to lead to a renewed sense of fervor on the Democratic side of the aisle that we got to get this done, and in his name and in his memory.
Jonathan Wilson?
I would agree with the congressman there. I think you do have to remember that on the left, he was a beloved and symbolic figure. But in a lot of parts of the country, on the right, he was still disliked in a lot of ways. So it's tough to say what the effect will have.
J. Newton Small, the Senate is known for being a deeply bonded club there, but they're also pretty cynical. Any sense that Kennedy's death will change the dynamics in the Senate?
Well, even before he died, you had senators who really loved Kennedy, like Orrin Hatch, a Republican from Utah, who were saying, you know, we just miss him so much, and his staff is not going to has not taken his place, and they haven't been working the same way. It just hasn't had the same dynamic, the same function, and his death just underlines his absence in this debate.
Thank you very much, Jay Newton-Small. She's the Washington correspondent for Time magazine. Jonathan Wilson from WAMU Public Radio, and Congressman Gerald Connolly. Thank you all for joining us this morning. We'll be right back.